But you probably got up, even if you slept through it, you probably got up the next day and on the 6 o'clock news the following day, you saw the mandatory video footage of the fireworks, again, $17 million worth, blown up in smoke, and you saw people reveling and Happy New Year and the champagne and all of those sorts of things. Who's ever been to a New Year's Eve party and you haven't felt like celebrating? You've looked back on the year that's been and you've thought, well, what have I got to celebrate? Last year was a bad year. I've got nothing forward to look forward to this year. Just the same old, same old, same old. I think we've all been there at some point in our lives. The reality is that there's probably not a single person in this room who wouldn't like to change something in their lives. Something, a relationship, health, age, finances, work, self-esteem. I'm sure if we had a Vox Pops and we took the microphone around and everyone was prepared to say, I'm sure everybody would have something in their life that isn't the way they want it to be. And so often we go to God and we say, God, can you please change this thing in my life that isn't the way I want it to be? If only God would change that one thing, then my life would be better. Then I would be happy. Then I would be able to enjoy my life. I don't know. If we could do a sample of the prayers God gets in 24 hours, I have a strong suspicion that the vast majority would be about changing something in the life of the person who is praying. But God doesn't always do that. It's good to pray for your marriage. It's good to pray for health. It's good to pray for finances. It's good to pray for your family. It's good to pray for all of those things. But get a revelation today that it is the norm to have things in our lives that we would rather not have, and that is unlikely to change for the rest of our lives. Jesus said, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Tribulation, you've heard me talk about this word before. The Greek word is thlipsis. It means to have the life crushed out of you. If you thlipsised some grapes, you would stomp on them to squeeze the juice out of them to make wine. In this world, you will have the life squeezed out of you, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And I am sure that there are people sitting in this room today who are looking ahead into 2016 thinking, well, I don't have all that much to look forward to. Have you noticed how the daily grind has a way of grinding you down? Just living life can be hard sometimes. And so we do this whole Happy New Year thing. People wished Happy New Year to each other this morning. No doubt, sometime over the next 2 weeks, we'll stop doing that. But we're still wishing each other a Happy New Year. And I bet you there are people in this room who don't feel like it's a Happy New Year at all. So I want to talk today about some things that God wants to do for you this year. This new year. Because God is a God of new beginnings. God is a God of fresh starts. And the most powerful thing that He can do for each one of us is not so much change the circumstances around us, but change us. Change what's going on in our hearts. Change how we see the world. Refocus us on His goodness and His mercy and His grace and His power and His Spirit and all the things that He wants to do in you and through you. Because for the rest of my life and for the rest of your life, we're each going to have something in our lives that we'd rather not have, that we wish we could change. So we can sit there and grumble about it and complain about it and carry on about it, or we can say, hang on a minute, what's God saying to me today? What does God have for me today? God is good. That first song that we sang about God's goodness. God is good. And before I start and dive into God's word, I'm going to pray for each one of us that God would open our hearts to receive His blessing today. Father, you know everything that's going on in our lives. All the stuff all the things that we would change, all the pain, all the regret, all the sin, you know, everything that's going on in our lives. Lord, we come to you as completely imperfect people today. People with struggles and people with disappointments and people with all sorts of stuff going on. Thank you that you know. Thank you that you see. Thank you that you understand. Thank you that you send Jesus to live the lives that we're living so that you understand firsthand. And I pray for each one of us, Father, that as we open your word, the Bible, your living word, that you will open our hearts, that you will write your word on our hearts, and that we will leave here as people changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bible if you have one. We're going to Lamentations chapter 3. There are three things that I want to talk about today that God wants to give you. There are some more that I'd love to talk about, but we don't have time. And so when you came in, you should have received one of these. It's a booklet that I've written called New Year, Fresh Start. And there are another few things in there that I'd love to share with you. It's free. If you didn't get one, grab one at the front desk on the way out. If they've run out, let me know. I can zip upstairs and grab some more. New Year, Fresh Start. Lamentations. What's a lamentation? Woe is me. Right? It's one of those. There are more psalms of lamentation than there are psalms of praise, in fact, in the Bible. The book of Lamentations was written by someone who saw Jerusalem destroyed. God's people had been in the promised land for several centuries, yet they continued to worship false gods. They continued to do things that God told them not to do. So God raised up the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and to take Israel into captivity in Babylon. The writer of Lamentations is looking at the ruins of Jerusalem, the promised land, the place where God used to live. Even the temple where God dwelt has been destroyed. Lamentations chapter 3, I am the one who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Against me alone he turns his hand again and again all day long. Have you felt that? It's like God's against you, just me. Everyone else seems to be having a great life. But me? Well, He has made my flesh and my skin waste away and broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me sit in darkness like the dead of long ago. Boy, this is a serious lamentation. And what I love about God, by putting this in the Bible, is he saying, I get it. You're not alone. This stuff happens in life. Zip down to verse 19. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. In other words, it's bitterness. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. Isn't that what we do? When there's something bad going on in our lives, we go over and over and over, and we turn it over when we go to bed, and we keep thinking about it and think about it. My soul continually thinks about it and is bowed down within me. But, and I love this but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God's mercies for you are new every morning. You may have done some things in the last year that you think God will never forgive that. You may be living through some consequences of sin, because sin always has consequences. And you might be thinking, I can never get through this. The first thing that God wants to give you is mercy. New mercy. Mercy that is new every morning. If you blew it yesterday, then when you get up today, you can go to God and say, Father, your mercies are new every morning. Thank you. You don't have to carry around the regret of the past. You don't have to carry around the regret of your sin. None of us is perfect. As much as we'd like to be, none of us is perfect. And that's why God's mercies are new every morning. But listen to the next bit. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You know what happens when we sin? We drift further and further away from God. The longer we let that go on, the further we feel that we're from God. And so it just gets harder and harder to come back. Seek the Lord today. Search out God today. Because if you've been living at a distance from God, let me ask you, how well has that been working for you so far? Really? It is good that one should wait on the Lord. Whenever you see the word wait in the context of wait on the Lord in the Old Testament, the word wait has a very specific meaning. You know when you're at the doctor's and he's running like an hour and a half late and you're sitting in the waiting room? What's going on in your heart while you're waiting? I should be charging him. He's wasting my time. How come that person went in ahead of me? That's not the sort of waiting the Bible is talking about here. And it's easy to wait like that when it feels like the world is all against us, right? Grumble, complain, mumble. What's God's doing? It's only against me. He's against me all the time. The word wait here means to wait expectantly. To wait with anticipation. To sit there and go, it might be difficult now. Jerusalem may be in rubble. My world may be destroyed. But this I call to mind. For this reason will I have hope, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and so I am going to wait expectantly on God. Get a revelation, people. God is the one who can change your life. No one else. Nothing else. Circumstances come and go. Good things come, good things go. Bad things come, bad things go. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. So, the first thing that God wants to give you is new mercy. I'm going to take a moment of silence. If you have drifted away from God, if you are struggling in your relationship with God, if you have some sin that you haven't confessed to God, and he feels like he is a million miles away, I just want you to take some time to open your heart in prayer before God, to confess the sin that separated you from God, and to claim this passage of Scripture for your life. Let's just take a moment of silence. All right. Now I want to share with you the second thing that God wants to give you that's new for you today. I understand some people are tired from last year. You may have had a rest, you may have had a holiday, but you still feel emotionally drawn and emotionally exhausted. That passage that Pierre read a little bit earlier on comes from Isaiah chapters 40 and 41. Does anyone know the historical context of Isaiah 40 and 41? Lamentations was written just when Jerusalem was destroyed. And the people were taken to Babylon to the east. And they spent 70 years as slaves in captivity to the Babylonians, wondering what had happened to their God. Ever wondered what's happened to your God? Ever wondered, well, God, where are you in all of this? What's going on? Why am I here? Why is this so hard? Someone said to me last night, surely God could make this whole Christianity thing just a bit easier. This bit is towards the end of the 70 years in exile. They've been there for 70 years, for three generations basically, not many people alive who had even seen Jerusalem in all its glory. They feel like God is gone, they're slaves, the Babylonians won, that's it. And so God breaks into their world with this word through Isaiah. Don't you get it? Haven't you heard? Haven't you known? Hasn't it been told to you from the very beginning? Haven't you understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, and he makes the rulers of the earth to be nothing. You get it? The Babylonians aren't the strongest force in the universe. God is. Scarcely are they planted. Scarcely are they sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them. And they wither, and the tempest carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, says God? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes. Jackie and I have just come back from a cruise. One night I went up on the top of the deck, away from the lights of the city, right? We don't see the stars much here in the city. Too much smog, too much light. Who's seen the Milky Way lately? Isn't it amazing? It's just like, there's so many stars, and there are only about a million of the stars out there. As far as we know, there are about a trillion stars. A trillion is a huge number. It's an incomprehensibly large number. If I were to count to a billion 1 second at a time, it'd take me 32,000 years. If I count to a trillion 1 second at a time, it would take me... Is it 320,000 years? Have I got that right? No, it's more, isn't it? 3.2 billion years. Like, it would take an eternity, right? A trillion stars. And these people saw them every night because they didn't have the smog and the lights of the city, right? So he's saying, look, just have a look. Who created those? Who brings them out every night? Left, right. Stop, stay there so that everyone can look at them. Because he is great in strength and mighty in power. Not one of them is missing. Do you get it? Do you understand who your God is? Our circumstances seem so big and so overwhelming because they're so close. The closer something is, the bigger it seems, right? And so we start believing that our circumstances are bigger than God. And God's saying, just focus a minute on who I am. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? Why do we say that when God is so great and so mighty and so loving? Haven't you known? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. Listen to this. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless, even youths, even young people, even people who stay awake for New Year's Eve will grow weary and grow faint. And the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Who needs more strength in their lives? Who needs more power in their lives to deal with the stuff that comes your way? Well, God gives it to people, but to very specific people. He gives it to those who wait for the Lord. Again, the same word is used here. Those who wait expectantly on God. Those who go to God and say, Lord, right at the moment, I don't have what it takes. I am exhausted, I am tired, I'm emotionally bereft. I don't have it. But I'm going to wait on you. Because your word says that if I wait expectantly on you, you will renew my strength. You will give me back some of the strength I've experienced before, and then some. Your word says, I will rise up as on wings of eagles. I shall run and not grow weary, and I will walk and not grow faint. Beginning of a new year. If you need some power, some some real power in your life to live through the circumstances that you're living through at the moment in a godly way, in a humble way, in a way that honors Jesus, in a way that shows the rest of the world who Jesus really is. If you need that sort of power, then that sort of power is available to you here and now. Just go and wait on God. Again and again and again. Remember that parable that Jesus told about the friend at midnight? Someone comes, knocks on your door at midnight. They want something to eat. You don't have any bread. So you go and pester the guy next door until he finally gets out of bed. And Jesus taught that as a parable about persevering in prayer. Persevere. Just persevere. Just wait expectantly. And God will renew your strength. Ephesians chapter 1 says that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to each and every person who believes in him. Go and read it for yourself. Starts at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In fact, Paul says, I wish as you got to know God more and he revealed himself more, that you would know the immeasurably great power that God has available for you. Transliterate those words, immeasurably great power. If I were to take the Greek words and kind of transliterate them into English, it would sound like this. The hyperbolistic, megathonic, dynamic power. See, Paul isn't mincing his words here. Paul says, I just pray for you that you would know the hyperbolistic, megathonic, dynamic power, the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead that is available to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't have to do this on your own. People put some rubbish on Facebook, and I've seen people put something on Facebook that says, God never takes you beyond what you're able to cope with. Wrong. God constantly takes you into places that you can't cope with, because otherwise you wouldn't need him. Otherwise you'd be able to do it on your own. And God doesn't want you to do it on your own. God wants you to experience the immeasurable greatness of his power. The hyperbolistic, megathonic, dynamic power that's available to you. God's mercies are new every morning. There are new mercies available for you this year in Christ. God's power is available to you to live your life for him. And the third new thing that he would like to give you that I want to talk about today is a new you. So often our perception of ourselves holds us back. I'm not good enough. I'm not as smart as that next person. I'm not as clever. I'm too old. You've said all of those things to yourself, right? Come with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. One of my favourite scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, and behold, see, everything has become new. You can believe what other people say about you. You can believe what the world says about you. You can believe what the advertising industry says about you. But none of those are reliable. What God says about you, however, is the truth. And what God says about you is that when you believe in Jesus, you are a new creation. The past is irrelevant. All the things you did wrong are irrelevant. All the mistakes you've made are irrelevant. They don't define who you are. What defines who you are is Jesus. And in Christ, you are a new creation. Brand spanking new. Do I hear a hallelujah? Do I hear an amen? Because that is really good news. I've done some bad things in my life. I've hurt some people. I've made mistakes. I still do. I wish I didn't. I still do. But God's mercies are new every morning. And I choose to believe that I am not defined by my mistakes of my past. I'm forgiven. I pray that I learn. I try to learn, I try to change, I let God change me, but I am not defined by the mistakes of the past. The most important word in this verse is the word see or behold. Because what's being said to us here through the Apostle Paul is, wake up and look at who you really are. Do you get it? Behold, you are a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Look, everything's new. That is good news. Now, they're just three things. There's more that God wants to give you, and that's why I've shared this booklet with you. Please take a copy. It's just my little way of thanking the church for supporting the Ministry of Christianity Works whenever I can. Take this book, take it home, and spend some time. There are some questions in there for you to work through. Ask yourself, like, let me think about what the Word of God is saying to me. The other two things that are talked about in this book are a new spirit and a new purpose for your life. And let God change your perspective on 2016. Yeah, maybe last year was hard. Maybe last year didn't quite go the way you wanted it to go. Maybe your health isn't what you want it to be. Maybe your marriage isn't what you want it to be. Maybe your job isn't what you want it to be. Whatever. Okay, fair enough. That's life. Stuff happens. But God has new mercies for you. God has new power for you. God has made you a new creation the moment you believe in Jesus. Do you want to live your life based on that or the miseries of this world? Because when we drink in his power, when we have that relationship with Jesus, when we truly draw close to him by reading the Word of God, by praying on a regular basis, there's this joy that fills your heart, right? Some people know what I'm talking about. There's this indescribable joy, the joy unspeakable that the Bible talks about, that goes beyond any logic. You think, hang on, all this stuff's going along, but I'm full of the joy of the Lord. And when you're full of the joy of the Lord, let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where the strength comes from. Not from us. Not by me conjuring it up. Not by me browbeating you Sunday morning. But through your personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who loves you beyond what words can say. Beyond what words can say. He loves you that much. People, God has new things for you this year. God wants to take you to places that you haven't been before. I don't care how young or how old you are. God wants to take you to places you've never been before. Don't let your circumstances define how you're going to live the rest of your life. Let God define that. Let God make the changes. Let God give you the power. Let God's mercy wash through you. Amen? And be the new creation that Jesus died and rose again to make you. Father, your word is incredible. You are incredible. Through Jesus, through that suffering on the cross, you have done things for us that we can't comprehend. Lord, forgive us that we let our circumstances and our emotions and our feelings draw us away from you. We are frail, we are made of dust, and to dust we will return. Thank you that you know that, Lord. But thank you that you've sent your word to us today to refocus us on the God who made the trillions upon trillions of stars, on the God whose mercies are new every morning, on the God who will unleash his power unspeakable in us and through us. Bless us through your word today. Let us be people changed, people excited, people waiting with anticipation to see what you will do. For we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.